Well, good morning. Trust everyone's having a good, has had a good week. I'd like to share a little message that kind of, I don't know, I had a little dream. It's kind of humorous in some ways, but it brings a little thought. I had this dream that I only remember one individual, but we were in this old building, this auditorium, to work. We were there to work, or at least I was. And it was like we were converting this old building. It had a big spacious room, but we were converting it to a chapel for worship services. And they wanted a measurement, so I started walking across the width and just stepping it off. So I stepped it across, and then I started the front and stepped it off the back, and thought that was sufficient, just an estimate. We weren't building. We weren't using any chalk lines on the floor to build walls or anything. It was just an estimate. And then somebody wanted me to remeasure it, re-step it off. Maybe I miscounted, so I re-stepped it off. And got the same measurement, told the measurement. And then I found a laser measure that I had, so I used my laser measurement. And you have to remember, this was just kind of a cleaning and wasn't a building day. And so I used my laser measurement. I gave him a laser measurement, and then somebody looked at me and said, "How accurate is that laser?" And I didn't really have an answer. I was thinking, well, I think it's usually within the 16th or 32nd, you know, and so many feet. I didn't really know all the specs on it. But then somebody wanted to help me remeasure the laser with the laser. Here, I'll help you. We'll remeasure with the laser. So we measured with the laser. And then everybody was sitting around, you know, kind of scratching their chin, their ear, thinking about how accurate is this measurement? How close are we with this measurement? And finally, other people started measuring. They got their laser measurements, started measuring again and everything. And finally, I felt like I was wasting my time, and I just slipped off, and I don't think anybody ever noticed that I was gone. But I was thinking about the word context. You know, we got off of, in that dream, it was like we got off track of what our purpose was there. We got off on track looking at the details, that it was, all we needed was an estimate in my mind. But we got off track and we lost our purpose for what our purpose was for being there. And I think about context, and I wrote down the definition. It says, the parts of a discourse that surround a word or passage and can throw light on its meaning. The interrelated conditions in which something exists or occurs. environment and setting. And the word context has changed over the years. It used to come from words that describe the interlocking, like a garment that was woven together. But it's changed over the years. It still has the interrelated conditions. I know I had a vocabulary building course in high school, and the teacher told us that many times you can figure out the definition of a word by the context of the context, the surrounding words, the sentence, the train of thought that's going. Many times you can get close if you really don't know the definition, just because of the context. I'll tell another little story. Back in college, I had my first year I took forestry. Then my second year I changed to drafting. That's all I went. I just went 2 years. It was a junior college. But in my forestry class, the instructor gave us an assignment, a rather unusual assignment. He gave us a location. And in forestry, we did a lot of, we'd go out to the woods and identify small trees, big trees, different things. We had to learn a lot of scientific names, and that was kind of a little bit boring, but he gave us a location, and he sent us out. This is kind of embarrassing. He sent us out to a location, and all he said was, I want you to write a one-page report and tell us what's happening on this land. Tell us what's happening. Give a one-page report. That was the assignment. Well, I get out there, and I don't know. I hope I'm not the only one that's done this. But my mind starts going different directions, and I see things, and I'm putting things together, and I come up with a conclusion of what's what's happened out there. Well, I'm not going to tell you all of my conclusions and all the things. It's pretty embarrassing. But I felt a little leery about my one-page report, so I didn't turn it in. I didn't hand it in. And I was always in school. I did. After I got saved, I did well in school. But I didn't turn it in because, and I was so glad I didn't. My imagination got the best of me, and I was totally off context of what a forestry class, an assignment, it was just, have you ever done that, or is that just me? Sometimes our minds, the way our minds work, it almost takes us out of reality or what's real or present at hand. I wanted to get that scripture in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Second Corinthians 10. In the third verse, 2 Corinthians 10 and 3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. This word imaginations, I wonder, it has the meaning of a computation. And it's taken from another word that means computation. It means to take inventory, estimate, conclude. And it's a reasoning. It has the word conceit, which is not a good word. Conscience, thought. Imagination, it's... We can sometimes imagine things that are really not there, that really take us out of context of what maybe we're supposed to be doing, context of purpose. And the enemy loves to bring and to get our thoughts onto something that is not really relevant to our purpose, and we get distracted. And that's what happened in that meeting. It was like all was needed was a basic measurement, and it was like everyone became so focused on the exact measurement that we lost the purpose of what we were there for. We lost the purpose of what we were supposed to be doing, what the plan for everybody to be there. It was like, what do they call that? Trail, some kind of a side trail, or that you get off the main trail, the main path, and you get on this little, and it's like a dead end rabbit trail. Is that what they call it? You're taking off this little bitty side shoot, and it really doesn't have much relevance, and then all of a sudden you come to a place, what am I doing? This is not what I started out to be. But the enemy would like to bring imaginations and thoughts to get us off course. And I want to notice here in this verse, it said that every high thing, casting down imaginations, and every high thing. Now it could be this word mentioned conceit. It could. And I notice Paul, in addressing in the Corinthian letter, he says, "Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" He mentions their thoughts. There was things happening here in the Corinthian congregation that really shouldn't have been happening. And then he says, you know, he mentions these verses here, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. You know, young children are so prone to this that they're, you know, you send them on a little errand or you send them to do something, and all of a sudden, 30 minutes later, you're wondering where they're at, and you're wondering. They can be off and never land somewhere, and then they look at you like, what'd you say to do? Exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I've seen some of you smiling, but have y'all ever done something like what I'm talking about today? You've been kind of way off on your perception, I know you have, I know I'm not the only one. Sometimes you can read more things into situations than what's really there. And imaginations, sometimes we fall into habits of thinking, our thought processes. We can fall into the way that we interpret our life many times through our own lenses, through our own eyes, through the experiences of our past. The experiences that we've all had experiences. We've all had good experiences. We've all had bad experiences. But it affects the lens. It affects how we perceive. And it affects how we view and see things. And we can be so far off. We can get so far away. And I know sometimes I've heard, you know, when you take an isolated scripture and you just look at that scripture and you don't look at what's around it. And I do believe this. I believe sometimes the Lord can give us little thoughts, little scriptures that apply to other situations, and there's really no harm to it. But we want to be real careful what we build, how much we put into something when it's not very well founded and stated. We need the Lord's help in this, but I think sometimes we can fall into habits of thought, the way we perceive, the way that we see, and it's like we get into a habit of our perceptions. We see it, we pass a, and that's what imagination was. It's a decision, it's a reasoning, it's a thought. We reason, we put a stamp on it, so to speak, and we think that's, it becomes reality to us, when sometimes it's really not maybe what the Lord wants. Maybe we're not really perceiving it quite like He wants us to perceive something. And I know we have a lot of warnings in the Scripture that talk about my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So we need divine intervention. We need the Lord to help us in our minds to be able to see and perceive things from His perspective, from His point of view. If it's just our human, we miss it all the time. We interpret situations, and it can be such small things that affect our life. We can interpret things wrongly. Maybe something that someone said that maybe they didn't really mean, how we're interpreting it. Just things, and I know we probably all experience that, especially in marriage. But we need the Lord to enlighten our minds, enlighten our heart, and to reveal things to us. And the best, I feel like it's important for us to keep our minds open and our hearts open to God's direction and His leading in our life. And that with a surrendered will and heart to live for Him and to have His ways first in our life, when we come to God that way, I believe the Lord can teach us. He can, you know, there's a phrase of, it talks about an old king that can no longer be admonished. He just, we don't want to get that way spiritually. We don't want to get to the place where we can't receive instruction, or we can't receive admonishment, or people just let us go because they say, oh, it won't do any good. He won't listen anyway. They won't listen anyway. So it won't do any good. I've already tried. We don't want to ever become like that. We want to be pliable. We want to be. But I think in age, the older we get, it seems like the more difficult it is to break patterns of life, habits of life, and the things of life. And not all of them are bad, but it's hard to improve when we just hold on to our habits and our ways and not allow the Lord to lead us and to teach and reveal and show things to us. There was an example, you remember Naaman, when he heard the words of that little girl or from his wife that there was a prophet that could heal him, and Naaman went with the expectation of being healed. But along the way, Naaman started reasoning. He started reasoning in his mind how it was all going to work out. He had it figured out before he got there. And when he got there, it wasn't going to plan. Things weren't working out according to plan. The things sometimes do not work out according to plan. You know, yesterday I was trying to come to mow the church in my truck. It wouldn't stay started. It would turn over. I've had this happen probably 2 times before. You turn the key, and the thing, it would go over, but it wouldn't go. It's like it just, as soon as it would just die, and it was like it wasn't getting fuel or something to kind of keep the engine going. And before, I've played with it and played with it and played. Maybe you all know what's going on to it. I don't know. I'm not that good of a mechanic. After about 20 minutes, kind of sitting and waiting, playing with it, not getting anywhere, about after 20 minutes, it started up and it went just fine. And that's the way it's done. But the thing that made it so different was that I pulled into the gas station to get gas. And the moment I pulled in, I made eye contact with somebody I knew. And they waved and I waved, and they'd just come out of the store. They bought some stuff in the store at the gas station where I was getting gas. And I thought, you know, 20 minutes earlier, and I would have missed the whole thing. But I was able to make contact, and I feel like the Lord blessed in my little conversation, little visit that I had. But it was thwarting the plan that I had for the day. Sometimes we get in our minds what we're going to do. We get in our minds of things that we need to get done, and we don't stop and consider that maybe the Lord has something different in mind. We can even get frustrated. Naaman got things in his mind the way he thought it was going to work. Now the Lord wanted to heal him, I believe. But it wasn't on Naaman's terms. It wasn't on his conditions. It wasn't according to the high thing that he had in his mind. It was in an humble, lowly way that God, and he told him to go dip in the Jordan, and boy, Naaman threw a fit. That's what it was. It was a fit. He was mad. I believe the scripture said a rage. He was raving. Because it didn't go on his terms. And if he wouldn't had a wise servant that said, wait a minute. Stop here. He said, if he would have asked you to go do a great thing, wouldn't you have done it? And he said, I don't remember what he said, but the answer was, probably. And then he said, well, how much more? Here's the Jordan River right here. How much more just to do what he said? I said that to say this because it illustrates sometimes we get things in our mind that hinder the Lord from doing what he wants to do. And Lord, help me, help us to be open, to be willing, to be sensitive, to be teachable. I think the Lord wants to bless and he wants to help in different situations, but it's not going to be where the flesh glories. It's not going to be where it's going to be where God can get the glory and the honor, not our humanity. So I wanted to encourage us and challenge us to think about maybe our... Have you ever had a... I know we've been there too, but when we've thought, we've allowed the enemy, our own thoughts, to persuade, and we realized later that it wasn't... That wasn't the right way, that wasn't what the Lord really wanted. And we realized that later. But there can be a... We can develop a habit in the way that we look at things, in the way we perceive. And habits are a little more harder to break. But he mentions here, he says, casting down reasonings, thoughts, ideas, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It's against the knowledge of God. Casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I know that there's been times in my Christian life, and probably maybe you could testify the same way, that you struggled with something for over and over and over and over and over again. And then finally you get to the place where you come to the Lord. I can't do it. You come to the place, I've tried. I've tried this, I've tried that. I can't do it. Lord, help us to come to those places sooner. Those places of resignation and yielding to the Lord sooner. Put it in the Lord's hands and allow Him to begin to work things out for us in our lives. Context. The context is really important for us today. You know, in times of conversation, you can be talking in a group and visiting with one another, and then all of a sudden someone says something that's... And it's okay to change the subject at times. I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's like, wow, where did that come from? You know, it didn't fit with the feelings or the discussion or the things that was taking place. And I think we probably all done that, been there too. So Lord, help us today. Help us to consider. We don't want the enemy to get us on some kind of little rabbit trail that's consuming us. A little rabbit trail that doesn't lead anywhere. Looks like a little bitty trail. And I've done that before. I've hunting and stuff, I've taken off on little trails, and pretty soon it gets to where I know when we went, we took a big hike, Kent, Lucinda, and I did years ago, and Kent kept wanting to take shortcuts all the time. Dad, there's the trail. Just go down here. And my thought was, there may be another trail leading into that trail that we don't see. And we're out here in the wilderness, miles and miles away from everything else. I'm not getting off this trail. But I've taken trails, gotten off little trails, and it looks like a little pathway you can see, but pretty soon it kind of gets hard to see, and pretty soon you're in a bunch of brush and undergrowth, and you got off the trail. You know, we do that spiritually. The Lord will help us, I believe. He always wants to help us to get back to the right path. But Lord, help us to be wise and recognize, hey, I'm off course here. I got to get back to the trail. And the Lord, I believe as we pray, we seek Him with an open heart, the Lord will lead and guide and direct us and help us. And thank you for your attention this morning.